The wind stops. The earth holds its breath. A hill outside Jerusalem is crowded, but nobody makes a sound. Nails pierce. Blood drips. Muscles tremble under the weight of more than just wood. A mother watches. A soldier gambles. A thief, guilty, gasping, asks for mercy from a man who barely has enough breath to give it. And yet, he does. Because that's who he is. And as the sky blackens, as the ground splits open, as all of creation shudders under the weight of this moment, he lifts his head, draws one last breath, and whispers the words that shake both heaven and hell. It is finished. Not a sigh of defeat, a declaration of victory. And while the world mourns, while death laughs, while hope seems buried in a borrowed tomb, Sunday is already on the move. Amen.
Welcome, everybody. Glad that you guys are here, out there online, wherever you are, joining us tonight as we observe our Good Friday service here at Discover. It's not a celebration. In fact, it's kind of a heavy service until we have the celebration in a couple days. Amen? So let's open up in prayer. Father God, we lift this service up to you, this observance, again, not a celebration, but with heavy hearts knowing that it was made necessary because of our sin, but with grateful hearts because of what you did with that. You turned defeat into victory. You turned death into everlasting life. So Lord, we are thankful and we are grateful for this day. No matter how dark it seems, we know the light comes in the morning, and that light is through your Son, Jesus. So we lift him up in praise this day and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, oh, oh. Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Oh, 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 sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Oh, tremble, tremble. Were you Were you there when he rose up from the dead? Were you there when he rose up from the dead? Oh, sometimes I feel like shouting glory. Up from the dead.
Welcome again, everybody. Glad that you guys are all here. Did they not sound wonderful? That was fantastic. Thank you, guys. I'm going to have just a short word about what this day means before we get to some some scripture. Last night, as many of you know, was called Maundy Thursday. If you were here last week, I always, my whole life, confused it with Monday Thursday. I'm like, that makes no sense to me. But the tradition of Maundy Thursday is recognized as the day when Jesus celebrated Passover with his disciples, what many of us know as the Last Supper. The word Maundy, M-A-U-N-D-Y, is Latin for command. So it's really Command Thursday. And it's called that because of Jesus' instructions to his disciples right after he washed their feet on that day. From John 13, verse 34-35, Jesus says, I am giving you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. You cannot have both love and hate in your heart. You can't do it. Some people try. But when Jesus gave that instruction to love one another just as I have loved you, what he was telling us is to let go of hate, let go of unforgiveness, because that's what the world looks like in general. Hate and unforgiveness are everywhere. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ and you call yourself that, they should know you by your love, which means hate and unforgiveness have no place in the life of a disciple of Christ. Which then brings us to Good Friday. Good Friday is always the Friday right before Easter. It's the Christian holy day that commemorates the crucifixion of Jesus and his death on the cross at Calvary. So why do we call Good Friday good? Why do we call it Good Friday, not Dark Friday, not Horrible Friday, when it's such a dark and painful event that observes or commemorates a day of terrible suffering and death for Jesus? Some people think it's a mispronunciation of God's Friday. Others that it derives from an English word, an old English word, good, G-U-D, Good Friday, because that was used as a synonym for holy. Either way, if you're a Christian and a disciple of Jesus Christ, Good Friday is a special day. It's a significant day because it recognizes a crucial step in what we believe to be the most consequential 3 days in the entire history of the world. Christians have long hailed Jesus' triumph over death and the grave through his resurrection on the third day as the decisive turning point in the battle for all creation. Scripture will back that up. In fact, the Apostle Paul considered it to be the single most important thing to understand was the resurrection of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, he said, "For I handed down to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." Why did Paul consider that of first importance? That word means more than just, I'll tell you this thing first. It is the absolute one, if you know nothing else, know this. Later he says, I resolve to know nothing but Christ and him crucified. It means that if Christ was not crucified, dead, and raised again on the third day, then all of the message of Christianity is void. It was absolutely necessary for the victory over death that he was killed, that he did go into the tomb, that he was sealed, and that he rose again on the third day. So if there are any of you out there anywhere who struggle with that concept, struggle with the idea of how did that happen, I urge you to look into that. We're not going to take the time to do that tonight. But as disciples of Christ, we need to be rock solid on that, because everything hinges on that victory. So tonight is not a celebration. Tonight is a remembrance of the greatest sacrifice ever. Good Friday is good, because as horrible a day as it seemed, it had to happen just that way for us to appreciate and observe the coming joy of Easter. See, the wrath of God against sin had to be poured out. It had to be poured out onto Jesus, the perfect sacrificial substitute, in order for the forgiveness of sin and for salvation to be given to all of those who would believe. Tonight we remember the day that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, perfect and blameless, willingly suffered and died by crucifixion as the ultimate and perfect sacrifice for our sins. The celebration will have to wait a few days. Now, at each step along the way, you see seven candles up here. And each candle has a sign on it that hangs an emotion or an event. And at each step along the way, we know that Jesus paid the price so that we would not have to. Victory is ours, bought and paid for by the King of Kings. He's the only one who could have done it, and he's the only one who did. Yet many of us still carry the burdens of shame and condemnation, the pain and regret that he bore for us. Each one of these things represents something that he paid the price to take away from you. So for the next few minutes, each time a scripture is read, we're going to show a slide with a pain that Jesus went through for us. And I want you to think about the times that you have felt a similar pain. Maybe it's tonight. Maybe it's right now. Maybe it's something you've held on to for a long time. And I want to urge you to let go of it with an understanding that what Jesus did on the cross was intentional to take those things away from you so that we did not have to bear those burdens alone. One of the things that Jesus emphasizes all the time is forgiveness. Even on the cross, he urged forgiveness for those who were tormenting him. And that should not go unnoticed by those who follow his commandments. He suffered. He very seriously and deliberately suffered. No one can look at Jesus and say, you didn't suffer that bad. Just as no one can look at any of you and say, no, you didn't suffer real pain when you were betrayed, when you were left alone, when you were isolated, when you were abandoned. Those pains are real, but it's our choice not to stay in that place. Because in the middle of all that suffering that Jesus underwent on the cross, he was more focused on forgiveness. And so I don't think any pain that we go through eclipses that Jesus went through for us. And if he forgave, so can we.
Our service tonight is called A Service of Shadows because it follows the path as the light of the world is slowly extinguished. A temporary darkness, but painful to relive nonetheless. Matthew 26:6-25. Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume and poured it over his head. The disciples were indignant when they saw this. "What a waste," they said. "It could have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, replied, "Why criticize this woman for doing a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. She has poured this perfume on me to prepare my body for burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed." Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, went to the leading priests and asked, "How much will you pay me to portray Jesus to you?" And they gave him 30 pieces of silver. From that time on, Judas began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to prepare the Passover meal for you?" "As you go into the city," he told them, "you will see a certain man. Tell him the teacher says, 'My time has come, and I will eat the Passover meal with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus told them and prepared the Passover meal there. When it was evening, Jesus sat down at the table with the 12. While they were eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." Greatly distressed, each one asked in turn, "Am I the one, Lord?" He replied, "One of you who has just eaten from this bowl with me will betray me. For the Son of Man must die, as the scriptures declared long ago. But how terrible it will be for the one who betrays me. It would be far better for that man if he had never been born." Judas, the one who would betray him, also asked, "Rabbi, am I the one?" And Jesus told him, "You have said it."
From Matthew 26, verses 30 to 35. And after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." But Peter replied to him, "Even if they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you that this very night, before a rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." All the disciples said the same thing as well.
Matthew 26, verses 69 through 75. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a slave woman came to him and said, "You too were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are talking about." When he had gone out of the gateway, another slave woman saw him and said to those who were there, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." A little later, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "You really are one of them as well, since even the way you talk gives you away." Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the statement that Jesus had made, "Before a rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly.
Psalm 31, Psalm of David, verses 9 through 14. "Be gracious to me, Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted away from grief, my soul and my body too. For my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength has failed because of my guilt and my body has wasted away. Because all of my adversaries, I have become a disgrace, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to all of my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I am forgotten like a dead person. Out of mind, I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Terror is on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they schemed to take away my life. But as for me, I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God."
Mark 14, 32 through 42. They went to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and Jesus said, "Sit here while I go and pray." He took Peter, James, and John with him, and he became deeply troubled and distressed. He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." He went on a little farther and fell to the ground. He prayed that, if it were possible, the awful hour awaiting him might pass him by. "Abba, Father," he cried out, "everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Then he returned and found the disciples asleep. He said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Then Jesus left them again and prayed the same prayer as before. When he returned to them again, he found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open, and they didn't know what to say. When he returned to them the third time, he said, "Go ahead and sleep. Have your rest. But no, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up, let's be going. Look, my betrayer is here."
From Mark chapter 14, verses 55 through 59. Now the chief priests and the entire council were trying to obtain testimony against Jesus to put him to death, and they were not finding any. For many people were giving false testimony against him, and so their testimonies were not consistent. And then some stood up and began giving false testimony against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that has been made by hands, and in 3 days I will build another made without hands.' And not even in this respect was their testimony consistent."
Mark 15, 1 through 5. Early in the morning, the chief priest with the elders, scribes, and the entire council immediately held a consultation. And they bound Jesus and led him away and turned him over to Pilate. Pilate questioned him, "So you are the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "It is as you say." And the chief priest started accusing him of many things. But Pilate questioned him again, saying, "Do you offer nothing in answer? See how many charges they are bringing against you." But Jesus said nothing further in answer. So Pilate was amazed.
From Isaiah chapter 52, verses 13 through 15. "Behold, my servant will prosper. He will be high and lifted up and greatly exalted. Just as many were appalled at you, my people, so his appearance was marred beyond that of a man, and his form beyond the sons of mankind. So he will sprinkle many nations. Kings will shut their mouths on account of him. For what they have not been told, they will see. And what they have not heard, they will understand."
Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised, and we did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed.
Isaiah 53, verses 10 through 12. "Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and caused him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors."
Matthew 27, 27 through 43. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole Roman cohort to him. And they stripped him and put a red cloak on him. And after twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And they knelt down before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him and took the reed and beat him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the cloak off him and put his own garments back on him and led him away to crucify him. As they were coming out, they found a man of Cyrene named Simon, whom they compelled to carry his cross. And when they came to the place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they gave him wine mixed with bile to drink. And after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among themselves by casting lots. And sitting down, they began to keep watch over him there. And above his head, they put up the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." At that time, two rebels were being crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those passing by were speaking abusively to him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priest also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him and saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. He has trusted in God. Let God rescue him now, if he takes pleasure in him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'"
From John chapter 19, verses 25 through 28. Now beside the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. So when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished, in order that the scripture would be fulfilled, said, "I am thirsty."
Luke 23:44-46. By this time it was about noon, and darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. The light from the sun was gone, and suddenly the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle. Then Jesus shouted, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." And with those words, he breathed his last.
We're going to show a short video now. I want to tell you out there online, if there are children in the room, it might be a little difficult for them to watch. But watch this video, please.
Dad, I've got
Powerful to listen to, powerful to watch, even more so knowing that that is reality. I want to take a couple minutes and invite anybody who would like to share a prayer to come up front and just pray for us this evening. Anything that you would like to pray for. We're just going to take a minute, so I'll leave the mic right here. And if anybody wants to come up, please do. It can be hard to know what to say after that. So I don't blame anybody for not wanting to come up. But I would recommend right now, as you sit there, that you would think about those who need your forgiveness. Jesus said, "Forgive those who trespass against us." And he was asking for forgiveness even on the cross. He said, "We'll know one another by our love. The world will know us by our love." You can't love and hate at the same time. So I'll pray. Father God, help us. Help us to understand what Jesus died, what he gave himself up for, to win for us victory over death, victory over hate, victory over all of the schemes of the enemy. Nothing can come against us. because you gave us victory over all of those things. And so, Lord, we repent right now of falling into those schemes of the enemy, of allowing ourselves to hate, allowing ourselves to be unforgiving. Lord, we give it up to you. We let you take it from us. We pray that you take it from us. We are not equipped to handle that, and we shouldn't need to. So we repent. We repent of unbelieving that your blood covered us all. We repent of believing that your blood covered us all, but acting otherwise. Lord, we are thankful. We are thankful for the cross. And we are thankful for Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to take communion together right now. I'm going to read a couple scriptures while we hand out the elements. We're going to take it with the little self-serve cups right there in your seats. The first one, John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to judge the world, but so that the world might be saved through him. And John 11:25-26, Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even if he dies. And everyone who believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? So that's a question that I pose to you. Do you believe in the promises of God? Do you believe in Christ and him crucified, and that he rose again on the third day? If you can respond yes to that question, then we invite you to take communion with us. If you're out there online someplace, just find two things. Find an element that represents the body, one that represents the blood, and we invite you to take communion with us. As we take communion, we partake in the blood and the body of Jesus, broken and shed, so that we may have life. On that night of the Last Supper, from Luke 22, it records the story, verses 14-20. When the hour came, he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it amongst yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is being given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Take the body. In the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. The blood. Jesus, we are thankful. Jesus, we do believe. We are humbled and we are grateful at the same time on this day. We thank you for the cross.
I resolve to know nothing but you crucified. Somehow in this room right now, it is enough. Of the world, too much for the souls of men, but somehow you hold it all upon the cross. Die, scarlet flowing from your hands inside. Covenant is sealed and ratified. You knew the cost. As the darkness fell and the curtain turned and tore, the death I deserve, you made yours upon the cross.
Yep.
Amen. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for coming out tonight. As you leave, the temperature has dropped a bit and the sun's down, so please watch the steps and everything on the way out and drive carefully. Let's gather again on Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, and celebrate the risen Jesus. Amen? Amen. Thank you, guys. You can be dismissed.